That was Julie on the radio. The jet has landed, Holly said. One of our Utah guys arranged for a truck to pick them up. Earl's group will be on their way to the attack site in a few minutes.
My watch said we were still at least half an hour out. What's the ETA for... Holly cut me off.
Hang on. Got something. Highway patrol is going nuts. Shots fired. Officer down.
We all perked up. Could this be it?
He's injured. Says he can't tell what it was, but it's huge. Some sort of animal. Bug... something. He's panicked.
Trip got excited.
Bet that's our monster. Drewbeck Road in... Where's Lutz?
Milo got the map out in a jiffy.
South of the attack site, not too far west of where we are now. Skippy, hang a left.
Holly wasn't much of a navigator, but Skippy got the idea, and I had to grab onto the straps again as Skippy banked us hard to the side. Sideways, turned to down, and all of the unsecured gear cases slid across the floor.
Easy there, Airwolf!
It would be nice for Skippy to say, hang on or something before doing something crazy. Milo began reading off numbers, and Skippy corrected course. The light in the crew compartment changed as we flew toward the rapidly setting sun.
Be there 10 minutes.
The Hind began to rattle harder again as we shed altitude and gained speed.
See stupid elves do that.
Cop's radio went quiet, Holly warned. I'll alert Julie.
There's a certain feeling that comes with the beginning of a new hunt. Excitement, tension, nervous energy, and yeah, even fear. It's kind of addictive. I could feel it, and I could see it on the faces of my companions. Except for Ed, who didn't seem to care one way or the other.
Let's blast this thing fast and save them the ride.
Think we should use the door gun?
Milo asked. We still had a few minutes of daylight left, and after that we could always switch to night vision.
You asked that like there was any possible way I'd say no.
Milo gave me a thumbs up and went to unzipping the case that held the FN-240 machine gun. Trip opened an ammo can and lifted out one end of a belt of silver 7.62. We'd wait until we slowed down before opening the door to place it on its mount. It was cold outside, and I could only imagine what a 200-mile-an-hour wind chill would be like. Between Milo's belt-fed and one of Julie's custom M14s she'd left aboard if we needed a precise shot, we could rain down some hurt from the sky.
Airplane above. Go same place as us, Skippy said. But go faster.
He sounded offended by that.
Skip's right, Holly said. Somebody just blew right past us.
Can you tell who it is?
No idea.
More hunters?
I looked to Trip and Milo, but neither one of them had a clue either.
They must have heard the same distress call. Maybe they're going to land in a field or something.
It's a really rocky area,
Milo said.
Is it like a bush plane? No, Milo. It's a big twin-engine prop plane, Holly said. And they're leaving us in the dust.
Propeller, grumbled Skippy. Faster than Hind, but boring.
They're way ahead now. Hard to see them with the sun. Skippy, I'm borrowing these binoculars.
It was the same type of plane the German team had rented.
Lindemann.
I know that we weren't in this for Stricken's stupid race, but I couldn't help feeling angry. I'm competitive like that. Money is money, and this was MHI's territory. They're probably going to land on the road.
Ooh, he's good, Milo whistled. I wonder how much he had to bribe the rent-a-pilot to try that.
Holly came back over the intercom.
Okay, I can see a sign for a garage ahead, a couple structures, no other buildings for half a mile. There's the flashing lights from the police car right in front. I don't see anything else around. There's lots of big rocks, and the road is curvy. I'm not seeing any long flat spots.
It'll take the Germans a pass or two to find a place to land. We can still get in there before they do.
On the bright side, if they do pull it off, maybe they'll be able to help that highway patrolman in time,
Tripp said. Leave it to Tripp to be the voice of compassion. I'd been so distracted at being beaten by our rivals on our own turf that I hadn't even thought of that unfortunate man. The sad truth of this business was that more often than not, we got there to clean up after the monsters had done their thing, and actually rescuing people was rare.
True, but I still want to beat these assholes on principle.
Guys?
Holly sounded surprised.
The Germans have gotten out.
What?
They've jumped. When I looked up, I saw somebody fall out the door.
Parachutes? That crafty bastard.
Well, now I could see why Lindemann had been getting so much admiration from the international hunters at the conference. Lindemann hadn't just rented a plane. He'd rented one used by skydivers. They probably even had all the equipment right there ready to go at the airport. That's also why they'd stopped early to gas up, simply to get to the general area and wait for the target to show.
Why didn't we think of that?
None of us know how to jump out of airplanes?
Milo asked rhetorically. Boone and Gregorius both had special forces backgrounds. So had Cody, but he was too old for that kind of thing now. So they'd all been jump qualified at one point, but they were all either with Earl or in the convoy coming up from Vegas. The only other member of MHI I could think of that would have been ready to do that was Sam Haven, who had been a SEAL, but he was dead. As far as I knew, none of the rest of us were prepared to get out of a perfectly good aircraft while it was still in the sky.
Valid point.
I can't see. Whoa. He's going to hit. Wait. There's a chute. Holy shit. It opened right before the ground. There's another one. They're landing right on top of the place.
Okay, said Tripp. That's pretty tough.
The ladies love Klaus, Milo added. And it sure isn't because of that accent. All shouty and stuff.
Please, not another word about your man crush on Klaus. I had to hand it to Lindemann. That was a clever move. But would it be $10 million clever? We could still get this thing first. They were on foot, had to be lightly armed, and we had mobility on our side.
Okay, Skip. The German team is on point. Let's back them up. Bring us in to provide cover.
The three humans in the back unstrapped from our seats and clipped safety carabiners to the ruggedized straps on our armor. The attached bungee cords would keep us from falling out the door and to our deaths if Skippy had to maneuver suddenly. We each checked the man next to us to make sure he'd been properly secured. Edward, as usual, didn't care, as orcs didn't really like to pay attention to things like safety. If things got nuts, Ed would stay inside by the sheer power of his bad attitude. When everyone was ready, Tripp yanked one side door open, and I got the other. A blast of freezing wind struck us. Damn, it's cold. Milo and Tripp went to working on moving the heavy 240 into place on the left. Taking Julie's rifle, I threw the single-point sling over my head and right arm, because if I dropped her $4,000 gun out the chopper, she'd murder me. I stuck one leg outside, braced my foot on the step, and leaned out. The skin of my face was exposed, and it immediately stung from the cold. You didn't think of Nevada as frigid, but in the high desert in January, it was nasty.
Wow! That's refreshing!
I rocked in a 20-round mag, pulled the bolt back, and let it fly, chambering a round of silver 308. Then I was really glad for the sling, because it let me free my hands to dig around in a pouch until I found my ski mask. I fumbled it on, then got my headset back over my head. Tripp had gotten the same idea as me and was putting on his mask, too. He was from Florida, and normally started shivering at 60 degrees, so he was hating life right about now. Now we matched Ed. Milo, who was from Idaho and seemingly immune to cold, slapped the feed tray down and ran the charging handle of the machine gun.
Left side ready.
The pouches on my armor were filled with 12-gauge magazines for Abomination. I had one sack of mags for the M14 on the floor, so I stuck my inside boot through the strap to keep it from sliding away.
Z, ready on the right. 1 minute,
Skippy roared, so of course that meant it was time to change the music. I don't know if it was a coincidence, or out of spite because we'd hired an elf, assuming Skippy even understood concepts like nation-states, but his choice of Mein Herz Brennt by Rammstein was rather suspicious. I flipped up the scope covers. I still had a few minutes of light, so I was going to use them as well as possible. I was no Julie, but I wasn't too shabby with a rifle, and I'd shot this particular heavily modified Troy chassis enough times to know it was a tack driver. It was probably better to start with a scalpel before going to Milo's meat cleaver.
Give me an angle, Skippy.
The chopper turned a bit, and the tall sign of the gas station came into view. We were only 50 yards off the ground by the time we crossed the road. The gas station was an ugly building, with a grimy little convenience store attached to a cinder-block garage. The garage door was open, and there was an older car parked inside with the hood up. There was a single gas pump, not even covered by an awning. 20 yards behind the garage was an old single-wide mobile home. The whole area was lightly dusted with snow.
The Germans are all in the parking lot, Holly said. Friendlies are dressed in gray and black camo.
Got them.
There were 5 figures crouched behind a tow truck. Colorful sports parachutes had been quickly abandoned, and the wind was dragging a few of them down the highway like rainbow tumbleweeds. The police car was parked right next to the garage. The driver's side door was open, and I could see a pair of legs hanging out. As I watched, 2 of the Germans got up and ran for the police car while the others covered them. Their guns were aimed at the gas station, so I put the rifle to my cheek and glassed the windows to see what they were looking for. I turned the focus knob on the Leopold scope until the picture was crystal clear. A huge shadow zipped across the interior of the convenience store before ducking back down.
What the hell was that?
ID? Tripp shouted.
I wasn't sure what I'd seen. It had been broad, at least 4 feet across, couldn't tell how tall, and dark in color. It had seemed bristly.
Beats the hell out of me. Big, but it moves fast.
I kept scanning. The interior of the shop was trashed. Shelves were knocked over. Some of the windows were broken. Something was spilled on the counter. I couldn't tell if it was blood. The hind was still moving, but slowly, gliding over the road. The gas station was in the middle of a small valley. There were hills all around, but there was a clear area for at least 50 yards in every direction. If the thing ran for it, there was nothing for it to hide behind besides sagebrush and rocks smaller than it had been. Unless it was bulletproof, we had it cornered. I turned my view back to the Germans. The 2 runners had reached the highway patrolman, and one was dragging him by the arms while the other was walking backwards behind them, eyeing the building. Suddenly, the front window of the store shattered outward, but I couldn't see what had caused it. The Germans rushed back behind the tow truck, but held their fire.
What did that?
Holly asked.
Can't tell.
I searched through the scope. I followed the sparkling trail of broken glass away from the station. Something had been hurled through that window, and I found it on the police car's hood.
Wait. Got it. Oh, hell.
What?
It was hard to tell because it was so red and mangled, but I was pretty sure I knew what I was looking at.
I think that's a human torso.
Something shifted inside the store, knocking over another shelf. My inclination was to assume there were no survivors inside, hose the place down, then torch it to be sure. But I couldn't see what Lindemann could see. Maybe he was going to try and reason with it or some nonsense. You never knew. Theoretically, I was in command, but Milo was far more experienced than I was. Earl had left me in charge because Milo wasn't comfortable with the whole leadership thing, but that didn't mean I couldn't pick his superior brain.
How do you think we should play this?
Gas pump is far enough away we should be able to destroy the building and not blow us all up. But...
Milo stroked his long red beard thoughtfully.
Klaus has boots on the ground. Let him make the call.
I could see one of the camouflaged individuals pointing and giving orders. A split second later, all five of them rose and opened fire on the building. The remaining windows shattered. The glass cases inside came apart. One German rose and chucked something into the open garage. Lindemann's men all ducked as one. A sharp explosion later, a cascade of dust and smoke belched out every opening. A lone hubcap went rolling across the parking lot.